Hi, this is Chris, and welcome to Adventures in Odyssey. Today I have a very special guest I'm sure you've heard of. He's known the world over here in Odyssey as a great imitator of all kinds of famous people. Hold tight, because he'll be with us in just a moment.
Oh, hi there. I was just working on one of my inventions here. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but you can call me Whit, and this is Odyssey. Hey, let's see if this thing works. Whoa. Hold it! Okay, so it needs a little more work. But that's the exciting part, because you never know what you'll discover along the way. Oh, don't take my word for it, though. You can find out for yourself when you come along on today's Adventures in Odyssey.
Chris here again, and just as I promised, I have a very special guest here in the studio with me. Ladies and gentlemen, Odyssey's own world-famous impressionist, Rich Biggles!
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Wait, don't tell me. Let me guess. That was Pee-wee Herman, right?
Actually, it was me, but I can do Mickey Mouse.
Oh, really? Go ahead.
Yeah, listen. Hi, kids, it's me!
Oh, very good. Well, now do Mickey Mouse.
That was Mickey Mouse.
Oh, well, do someone else, and let me guess who it is.
Okay. Help, Skipper, help!
That's it?
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse again?
No, it was Gilligan from Gilligan's Island. You want to hear some of my Bible characters?
Sure.
Surely this man was the Son of God.
Richard Burton in the robe?
John Wayne, the movie version of the greatest story ever told.
Oh, I should have guessed. How are you at imitating Jesus?
Is that a trick question?
Well, some people might think so if you ask them, including Connie Kendall.
Well, I don't know how to do her. Is she world famous?
Well, she is to the kids in Odyssey. And on today's Adventure in Odyssey, she's going to live out a parable about a different kind of imitation without realizing it.
She does imitations, too? Cutting into my business. Maybe I should meet her.
Oh, you will, when we start our adventure, right after this. It's that time again at Wit's End. Night has fallen, the customers have gone home, and Connie and Eugene are closing up the shop. Little do they realize that this isn't the end of the day, but the beginning of a new experience.
Ah, well, that was the last customer, and I'm going home. You know, I'm in the middle of a new computer program for computing students' grades at the college.
How exciting.
Do you really think so?
Not really.
Oh.
Is that all you ever do, Eugene? Work on computer programs and research and stuff like that?
Stuff, Ms. Kendall?
Yeah. I mean, no offense, but doesn't it get kind of boring? Just hearing about it gives me a headache.
Well, I'm sure there are some very obvious reasons for that. To answer your question, no, I don't get bored. I find intellectual stimulation be anything but boring. To rise to the challenge of an academic question and to proceed...
Okay, forget I asked. I was going to ask if you wanted to go bowling sometime, but I don't think I will now.
Bowling?
All right, gang. Here. I've written out in this note essentially everything you'll need to know for the next couple of days. The hotel and office phone numbers are right here at the bottom, see?
The next couple of days?
Well, yes. Remember, I have board meetings in Chicago this weekend. I'm sure I told you.
Oh, you did, Mr. Whittaker. They're the board meetings for Universal Encyclopedia, from which you emerged as chairman of the board at one time in your lucrative history.
Teacher's pet.
You know pretty much everything you need to do, and what you don't know, simply call and ask me anytime.
Well, I consider it an honor that you would bestow your trust upon us to watch over your establishment.
Oh, brother. Whit, are you sure you want to leave? I don't know if Eugene and... Well, if I'm ready to. I mean, 2 whole days? Wouldn't it be better to close the shop down until you get back?
Connie, Fridays and Saturdays are our biggest days for the kids. I couldn't close the shop down. Oh, why are you worried? Unless, of course, you're afraid I haven't taught you well enough.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just that I'm afraid I might, you know, make a mistake or something. Push the wrong button and burn the building down. I don't know.
I don't think we have a button that does that.
Connie, you two will be fine. All you have to do is run this place like,
Well, run it like I would. Do what I would do. And like I said, there's the phone. Use it.
You want us to be like you?
Well, in a manner of speaking.
Don't worry about a thing, Mr. Whittaker. The kids won't even realize you're gone. You'll have a nice trip and leave everything to us.
Hi, Eugene. I got here as soon as I could.
Oh, no rush. It hasn't been very busy today. How was school?
Same as usual. So what do you think?
Think about what?
This!
Oh, is that a new sweater?
Yeah!
Oh, strange. It looks exactly like the one Mr. Whittaker wears.
Yep, you're right. See, if I'm supposed to be like him, I figured I should dress like him, too.
Oh, I see.
Hey, what are all these cans of paint doing here?
Well, they're not doing anything, which is why I've been standing here pondering them.
Well, where did they come from?
A man from the paint supply company delivered them a few minutes ago. He said Mr. Whittaker ordered them last week, but he couldn't remember whether Mr. Whittaker ordered the ivory or the light blue, so he delivered both.
Well, what did he order them for?
A good, if somewhat ungrammatical, question. I recall Mr. Whittaker saying he wanted to repaint the Bible room. Maybe that's what... Aha. I think he would be very appreciative.
Huh?
I'll do it while he's away. It'll be a wonderful surprise for him.
Talking about?
I'll paint the Bible room for him. But which color? Light blue or ivory? Knowing Mr. Whittaker, he'd order the ivory.
Ivory? I think Whit likes light blue better.
And on what do you base that information?
Because I know Whit. A lot longer than you, I might add.
True. But we've spent a substantial amount of time together, and he's never indicated a preference for light blue. In fact, judging from the other color schemes he's established, ivory would be his choice.
I don't think you can assume that.
I never assume, Ms. Kendall. I weigh the evidence carefully and come to a conclusion, never an assumption.
Fine, do what you want. I won't argue with your conclusions, no matter how dumb they are.
That's not a very wit-like thing to say, Ms. Kendall. Dumb is a very immature, if not impolite, word to use with regard to someone's idea, especially mine.
Then how's this? Eugene, you should do what you think is best, even though I disagree with your conclusion.
Better. We agree to disagree. A more mature attitude by far. And that settles it. The Bible room will be painted ivory.
Hi, Jack. Hi, Lucy. What can I do for you?
Nothing. We thought we'd go up to the Bible room and look around.
We're not just going to look around.
We've been having an argument about something from the Bible. We thought we'd check it out in the Bible room.
Oh, I'm sorry, but the Bible room's closed today. Eugene's painting it.
The Bible room is closed?
Oh, where's Mr. Whittaker? We can ask him.
Well, he's gone for a couple days. Hey, why don't you ask me?
You?
Sure, I can probably answer your questions.
But Mr. Whittaker doesn't just answer a question, he tells stories, too.
Well, I've been around him enough. I know how to tell stories. What's your question?
Well...
I told Jack about that time in the Bible when Jacob wrestled an angel and won. He doesn't believe me.
I don't remember a story like that. People can't win against angels.
Oh, that story. Well, you know, there is a story about that in the Bible.
Told you.
Yeah, but what was it about? I want to know what happened.
What happened? Oh, well, there was Jacob and, he wrestled an angel.
Yeah, well, we got that far, Connie.
Well, I think he won. No, wait. It seems like, okay, the sun was coming up and the angel heard its hip. Or was that Jacob? Or was he called Israel then? No, wait a minute. Wait, okay. Which order were they born? Abraham? Isaac?
Never mind, Connie. That's okay. We'll ask Mr. Whittaker when he comes back.
No, wait. I know the answer, really. I've heard Whit talk about that story. I've even read it myself.
See you later, Connie. Thanks anyway.
Yeah, see ya.
Wait! The answer's right on the tip of my tongue! I could look it up. Why were you in the Bible room, Jennifer? I told you Eugene was painting in here.
I just wanted to talk to the Bible verse mirror. But it started going crazy. Listen to it. It keeps saying that verse over and over again.
God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world.
Yeah,
that he
sounds
gave.
Broken, all right.
For God so loved
Maybe
the
we should
world
get Mr.
He
Whittaker.
But we can't. He's gone for the weekend.
You want me to get
for
Eugene?
So
he had classes
he
at the college.
Then so
Jennifer, I haven't spent
God
all this
so
time with Mr. Whittaker and not learned how
God
to turn
so
one of his inventions off. Look, all I have to do is reach back here and turn this switch. Well, maybe the other one.
The world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave.
No, it wired it into the wall. Wait, I'll try this one. Maybe, wait, don't be silly. I can handle this.
For God so loved the world that he gave.
There.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten.
Honey, make it stop.
I'm trying.
Honey.
Stop it, you stupid mirror. That's enough.
I don't think Mr. Whitaker would have done it that way.
It's not fair, Jimmy. It's not fair at all.
I wish Mr. Whitaker was here. He could tell us what to do.
Hi, guys. I hate to break it to you, but it's closing time.
Okay.
Maybe Connie would know what to do.
Nah, I don't think so. Mr. Whitaker is the best person
to... What's the problem? Hey, just pretend like I'm wet.
But your voice is higher.
Oh, go on, Jimmy. Tell her.
Okay. Well, I got in trouble at school today because of something I didn't do.
Really?
Yeah. Pete Bowman said I took a ruler out of his desk, and I didn't. And he tried to say my ruler was his, and he started pushing me around. So I pushed him back, and the teacher thought we were fighting and sent us to the principal.
So what's the problem?
Well, I don't know if I should tell my mom and dad about it. I mean, the whole thing was really stupid, and if I tell mom and dad, they'll just get mad at me for pushing Pete back, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it is an interesting problem.
That sounded like Mr. Whitaker.
I don't think he should tell mom and dad. I mean, it's not fair for him to get in trouble twice for something that really wasn't his fault. It's no big deal.
Well, what do you think you should do, Jimmy?
I give up. I don't want to get in any more trouble, but I kind of got this feeling I should tell. What would you do, Mr. Connie?
Well, I think... Well, since you already got in trouble with the principal, and the principal didn't call your parents, and the principal didn't say you had to tell them, then you don't have to tell your parents. It would only upset them for no reason. You feel bad about it, right?
Yeah.
Well, then I guess that's enough. Don't worry about telling your parents. Like Donna said, it's no big deal. They probably wouldn't care much anyway.
Do you really think so?
Yeah, forget about it. Let bygones be bygones, as they say.
I don't know what a bygone is.
Neither do I. Well, it's just an expression.
Oh, okay. Then I won't tell my parents. Thanks, Connie. I feel a lot better now.
Good.
Come on, Jimmy. Let's go so Connie can close up the shop.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See you later.
Bye, Connie.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for the advice.
Well, I think Whit would have been really proud of me for that.
Did Connie give Jimmy Barkley good advice? We'll find out when we continue our adventure in Odyssey right after this. And now the conclusion of today's adventure in Odyssey.
Oh, Connie, I'm going to go up and try to finish repainting the Bible room. Do you mind watching the shop?
No, go ahead. Hey, and thanks for cleaning up the talking mirror.
Oh, it was no inconvenience at all.
Do you think it can be fixed?
Mr. Whitaker did some very unique inventing with that mirror, a process I've never seen before. I wouldn't even try to duplicate it with my inferior skills.
Was that a yes or a no?
It was a conditional yes. It can be fixed, but Mr. Whitaker will have to be the person to do it.
Oh...
Call me if you need anything.
I will.
Hi, Connie.
Oh, hi, Mr. Barkley. What can I get you today?
Well, actually, I'm not here to get anything. I'd like to talk with you a minute, if I could, please.
Oh, okay. Is now all right? There's not a lot of customers.
Sure. Look, I'm not very good at this sort of thing. I mean, I usually let things like this go, but, well, because you're a good friend of my family and the influence you have with the kids, Well, I think you should think very seriously about the kind of advice you give.
Something happened, right? What happened?
Well, I found out this morning from Pete Bowman's parents that Jimmy got in a pushing match at school yesterday. And as best as I can figure, you advised him that he not tell his mother and me.
Well, he already got in trouble once with the principal, and I didn't think it would make a big difference.
Well, maybe it doesn't make a big difference to some people, but it does to me. See, I'm trying to maintain a relationship with my son, a relationship of trust. You know, we had a little incident like this a few weeks ago.
I didn't know.
Well, against my instructions, he blew his savings on video games, but, well, that's another story. The point is, I want to be able to trust my son, and I want my son to trust me. Trust me enough to tell me about things that happened to him at school, regardless of whether I might punish him or not. If he doesn't feel like he can do that, then we're, well, we're in big trouble. Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I do, and I'm really sorry. I didn't think it would do any harm.
Well, anytime you make kids feel like they don't need to talk to their parents or should keep something from them, harm is done.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking. I'm really sorry.
Well, apology accepted. Like I said, I don't usually react like this, but, well, I figured it was important to let you know.
Yeah, it was, and I'm glad you came to talk to me.
So am I. Now, I'm sure I'll see you again, Connie.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I am so stupid. I can't do anything right.
Connie!
What now, Jennifer?
I spilled my milkshake.
Well, then take this rag and clean it up. Why do you kids have to make such a mess all the time?
I'm sorry. Boy, Mr. Whitaker never yells at us like that.
Well, I'm not Mr. Whitaker, am I? Eugene!
Oh, careful, Connie. Watch that pan of paint. Hey, why aren't you wearing your Mr. Whitaker sweater?
Because I blew it. I've been messing up everything.
Now, I know about the mirror. Did I fail to observe something else?
It's too embarrassing to talk about.
Oh, well, I'll keep painting then.
I can't do anything like Mr. Whitaker. He said to take care of the shop like he would, and I can't do it. I couldn't answer Jack and Lucy's questions, I couldn't fix the mirror, and I gave terrible advice to Jimmy Barkley.
It's a shame you were too embarrassed to talk about it.
I feel like a miserable failure.
I'm not sure I understand how you feel, Connie, since I don't know what it's like to fail. But I may be able to point out a key reason to explain why you've been having so much trouble.
Really?
Yes. I'm under the impression you misunderstood Mr. Whitaker's instructions.
How? He said to run the shop like he would, to be like him.
Aha! An important clause. He didn't say to be him, he said to be like him. In other words, to take what he has taught you and use it. I truly doubt his intention was for you to try and do all the things you've been doing in the past 24 hours. Telling stories, answering questions, fixing inventions, even giving advice. To put it bluntly, you can't be John Avery Whitaker. You're Connie Kendall. I don't think he expected you to be anyone else.
So that's what I've been doing wrong, huh? You know, sometimes you make a lot of sense, Eugene.
Sometimes?
When I can understand what you're saying. All right, I won't try to be Mr. Whitaker anymore. I'll be myself. Well, myself plus the things he's taught me.
A wise decision, Ms. Kendall. Besides, you look pretty ridiculous in that sweater.
What?
Connie, Eugene.
Hi, Whit.
Hello, Mr. Whitaker, and welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. How was everything while I was gone?
Quiet.
Okay. Did you see the mirror? That was my fault. I'm sorry.
That's no problem. It'll be easy to fix, but I couldn't help notice the, what happened to the Bible room?
You noticed?
Well, I certainly did. Did you paint it?
Yes, I did. You see, the paint supplier brought several cans of paint, but couldn't remember which color you ordered, light blue or ivory. Naturally, I remembered your use of ivory and of your desire to paint the Bible room. So, I did it to surprise you. Were you surprised?
Yes, I was. Very much. Especially since that paint was for the shed out back. I was going to paint the inside light blue and the door ivory.
Oh, my. Well, when it arrived, I drew the wrong conclusions.
Well, I don't understand. Why didn't you read the list of instructions I left?
The note.
We forgot all about the note.
Yes, not only did I explain about the paint, but I gave details for turning off the mirror if it started acting up. Now, I didn't have time to fix it before I left.
You put all of that in a note?
I certainly did. I told you before I left.
Oops.
Well, besides the note, I thought I made it clear to call me if you had any questions. Why didn't you two call and ask?
Well, frankly, we didn't want to bother you.
Bother me? Oh, what am I going to do with you two? You should know by now it wouldn't have been a bother. Did anything else happen while I was gone? Well?
There was one thing.
Okay.
Would you tell me the story about the time Jacob wrestled an angel and won?
Well, sure. You see, it was on the eve of a reunion between Jacob and his brother Esau.
Oh.
Esau had been Jacob's enemy for years. Jacob stopped at a place called Bethel, along with his family and...
With?
Yes?
It sure is good to have you back.
Many times in the four Gospels, Jesus used parables to teach the people about important biblical truths. Through the story of the prodigal son, he taught about forgiveness. Through the parable about the pearl purchased at a great price, he taught about the kingdom of heaven. And there are lots of other examples. You see, a parable is simply a lesson wrapped up in a story. Whether Connie realized it or not, her adventure today was a parable about imitating Jesus. Like the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me, just as I also imitate Christ." But imitating Jesus isn't pretending to be him. It's just like Connie learned today. Being wit and being like wit are two different things. She wore a sweater like his and tried to talk like he did and even tried to fix things like he did. And she wound up making a mess. Wit didn't mean to try to be him. He just wanted Connie to do the things he taught her to do. Sometimes we make the same mistake when we read in the Bible to be like Jesus. We think we're supposed to be identical copies of Jesus. And when we fail, we get discouraged. But guess what? God didn't make us to be identical copies of Jesus or anyone else. He made us to be unique with different talents and personalities. And we are. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "To have this mind in yourselves, which is like Christ Jesus, or have an attitude like Jesus did." We can't be Jesus, but we can be like him as we let God work through us and change us. Imitating Jesus is a lifelong process that happens as we study his word, the Bible. Kind of the same as the letter Whit left for Connie and Eugene. We also become more like Jesus by talking to him through prayer. Just like Whit told Connie to call him if she had any questions. And we can be like Jesus when we obey him, by doing the things he has taught us to do. In fact, there isn't anything greater in this life for us to do than to learn to be like Jesus. Adventures in Odyssey is a production of Focus on the Family. Today's program was written by Paul McCusker and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Dave Arnold, and Chuck Bolte was our executive producer. And I'm Chris, inviting you to join us next time for another Adventure in Odyssey.